Houston is hot, but the people are cool. You are in Rhonda's Lounge listening to Artist of Houston podcast. Stick around, listen up. It's going to be great.
Welcome. You're in Rhonda's Lounge listening to Artist of Houston podcast. So happy today I'm going to be bringing Mr. Nicola Parente to the podcast. He's a fellow Winter Street Studio mate down the hall. I'm here every second Saturday, 12 to 5, and available by appointment, and really do hope that you guys can come in and visit us. I want to introduce Nicola with a description he has on his website about his work, which is pretty much says it all. He states that he is intrigued by the interplay between the fluid and the static elements present in today's urban tapestry. His work investigates untangling the chaos, the brilliance of technology, human development, nature's vibrancy, and ultimate demise. He documents it the best way he knows how, through art, his only voice. I'm so thrilled to welcome Nicola Parente. Welcome, Nicola Parente. I'm so excited that you're here, Nicola.
Well, thank you, welcome. Rhonda. I'm very excited to be here.
I'm going to tell you, I went on your website, which I will tell everyone to go to your website, NicolaParente.com, and you have video of your previous work, all your shows documented, all that kind of stuff, and I had a panic attack, and really? I was like, ha, but then already know you're a really nice guy, and I'm super excited that you're here for that reason alone. But I started getting really excited because you're such an accomplished artist here in the Houston community. You're involved in the community, so it's exciting. So welcome.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's good to be here, and it's good to kind of tell my story a little bit too, because I don't get a chance to do that very much. So thank you for having me.
So, Nicola, I always ask everyone, did you go to art school?
Well, I'm actually self-taught.
Okay.
I have 2 degrees. I have an undergrad degree in international business.
Wow.
And with a concentration in marketing. And my master's is an MBA with concentration in marketing as well. So, growing up, I always wanted to be an artist, and my parents never encouraged it.
They did not.
Even though my mom was a couture dress designer, my dad was a farmer, and we lived in southern Italy. That's where I was born.
Wow.
And we, they lived a very simple life, and they always thought of hard work as a result of being able to get compensated.
Gotcha.
And they never really encouraged anything as far as like even music or the arts, because my dad would be like, well, what are you going to do with that? How is that going to help you find a job?
Right.
So like many people have done before me, I ended up going to school, like what was expected, and getting my degree. But I always, something behind in the back of my brain always said, Nicola, like, why aren't you doing something creative? Why aren't you, going out there and going, following your dreams?
Mm-hmm.
So I, for the longest time until my late 20s, I really didn't do that until one day I had a conversation with one of my best friends who's from Ethiopia, Yasser, and we were talking about what-if, should-a, could-a's in life.
Mm. And in your 20s, you had this conversation.
In my 20s.
That's pretty interesting.
And I had been painting at that point, but it was only things that I would just do on my own, and I would mm-hmm. never share it with anyone. I mean, I have a few pieces in my home, but wasn't going after any kind of career with it. And so we had this conversation based on death and based on my experience with having a friend of mine from college that I had found out had just passed away. That was in his 20s.
Wow.
So So the conversation took place, and so we started a conversation about, okay, what would you do differently in life? Or what would you do going, you know, what would you like to do if money was no object, if, you right. know, if you had any choice you could? And I, first thing I said is, I'd be an artist. Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, why aren't you doing that? And I said, well, because I don't want to live under a bridge. I want to be right. able to make money, and I want to be able to, you know, sustain my life.
Right.
And he asked again, so why aren't you doing that? And so I remember going out that evening after the conversation and buying large canvases, which I'd never worked on large canvases before. And I sat in the living room and started painting these large scale canvases. I don't know where the inspiration came from. I just did it. And I never stopped.
That's wonderful.
So it took me about a year from that point to actually start showing my work, because I had mm-hmm. a body of work to show. And I was showing at a small restaurant over on West Alabama in Houston called Divino, mm-hmm. which is still there. And they, I was doing wine sales at the time, so I knew them, and they had seen my artwork. And they were like, why don't you bring it to my restaurant and mm-hmm. showcase it? We'll do a show for you. And I was like, really? So they did, and it caught the eye of a gallery. And then from about a year later, I started showing in galleries, and never stopped.
Yeah. That you don't know where it came from. I think there was just a huge obstacle removed with just the friend telling you to go do it.
I think so. I mean, sometimes, you know, you just need that push, or you just need that conversation to get you thinking about
right. what. And obviously it sounds like it was a very real time in your life, having endured a loss, and where everything that doesn't matter kind of goes away. And so what's left is what's bare and real.
And that's interesting, because I was also going through a divorce at that time.
No way.
So because of that, you know, I think that gave me the strength to mm-hmm. concentrate on myself. It wasn't about yeah. taking care of somebody else anymore. It was about taking care of myself and right. doing what's going to make me happy, and taking everything else out of the picture.
Yeah, that's unfortunately sometimes what it takes. And I think that's the difficult part about being an artist, is that it takes time and focus, and it usually excludes a lot of people or events or things, but you have to put the work in. So, yeah. Okay, so you have a show in the Vino, yeah? Mm-hmm. And it's a big success, I'm going to guess.
Yeah. The show ended up, I mean, I think probably about 60% of the show ended up selling.
So the show Vino at the restaurant turned out to be a great thing, I'm assuming, yes?
Yeah, no, it turned out great. It was a good turnout, and I ended up selling a majority of the show, which was, you know, gave me encouragement to continue with my, you know, creative process. The great thing about it is that through the process, about a year later, I got a phone call from Jennifer Brew, who was a Houston businesswoman who was starting a gallery with Navid Gadami called Mind Puddles, where the current Archway Gallery is now.
Oh, okay.
And so it was going to be an incubator space for new artists to be able to showcase their work. And they invited me to be the first artist to have a show there. And it was my first solo show in a gallery space versus like in a restaurant. And so that show ended up being almost a sold out show. And I'm very grateful for that experience, because that really launched me to go show at other galleries and got me to the gallery that I am now, which is Grémillon and Company.
Fine Very art, nice.
Which is in
yeah.
the Rice Village.
You have a signature. I would know your paintings anywhere if I saw them anywhere in the world. Were you doing that type of work at that time, or did you evolve into what you are?
No, that work really evolved over the last, I'd say, 12 years, maybe 15 years. So, you know, prior to that, I was doing a lot of color, you know, basically studying color. Since mm-hmm. since I didn't go to school for art, you know, I needed to have my own education in a sense. So I was studying color theory, and I was doing things that are just in monochromatic colorways, all in the abstract form, and all paintings. And I was also experimenting with medias. Some of the paintings took on influences from Matisse or Picasso, some were figurative, which my work is not right now. And so that led me to, wanting to experiment. I've always been fascinated, and I always wanted to be a contemporary artist and didn't want to really limit myself to the traditional methods. So 15 years ago, when I moved to Winter Street Studios, I started...
15 years ago.
15 years ago.
You're one of the originals.
Yes, I am. So when I moved to Winter Street Studios, I started experimenting with materials. And what I started doing is I started thinking, okay, I'm a contemporary artist. If I wanted to paint on contemporary materials, what would that look like? And so I made phone calls to plastic manufacturers all over and told them what I was doing and asked them to send me some samples of their boards for me to experiment with. And so I started painting on plastic sheeting. It was very unsuccessful, and it took me about 2 years to find the right material to work on that I really liked the way my work flowed. By that point, I was already developing my style, and it kept developing more and more and more. And when I found this material, I felt like this is it. I came home to what I really needed to be doing and on the material that I needed. So a lot of my paintings are painted on recycled plastics, PVC sheeting, and which allows me to be able to manipulate the paint and the inks and the charcoal powders in a way mm-hmm. that I can create something that's uniquely mine.
That's pretty cool. You didn't know what you needed. You went like exploring.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
That's part of the being, creative is mm-hmm. The part that I love the most is the exploration mm-hmm. and figuring out, okay, how can I do things a little differently? How can I set myself apart by mm-hmm. creating something that's new mm-hmm. For myself and not be pigeonholed into, only one style or one way of doing things. And that's why I've expanded as an artist. I mean, I'm not only doing paintings, but I'm also doing installation-based work.
Yeah.
I'm also doing abstract photography. I've worked with writers in the schools and doing some 3D, what we call poet trees. We can talk about that a little bit later. And doing also sculpture, because I had a sculpture on Heights Boulevard that was a metal sculpture that I created mm-hmm. with the help of the fabricator Spencer Elliott.
You are so impressive for not having gone to art school, but it probably helped you. It's like you just went about exploring, and like you're... I'm a person where I know what I don't know. Like, I have to go find out, So it sounds like you were in that realm.
And I still am. I mean, there's still a lot I don't know and a lot of things that I want to experiment with that I haven't yet. And I love collaborating with other artists. And a couple of years ago, I started a group called Art Unity. And it's Unity with an I, with Tammy Merrick. She and I had met, she's also a visual artist, and she and I had met in a group called Art Chatter, which is a critique group made up of 15 artists that basically get together and critique each other's works and help each other with, maybe sourcing materials or finding a way to get unblocked, mm-hmm. That kind of thing. And so she and I started working together on some collaborations, and we're on our third collaboration in 2 years right now.
Wow. Is the Art Chatter group still active?
It is. It's been active, I think, for about 14 years.
Yeah.
And Tammy was one of the original people that started it.
You do have a really nice video on your website explaining the group and what they do. She's speaking on it, actually,
yes.
So people can go to your website and get further mm-hmm. Info about that. It's very cool. So these collaborations, you have a lot of collaborations within the community. I don't know if it's exclusive to Tammy and this group at all, but I see people coming and going out of your door all the time. Here are your times going. So tell us more about I know you had something in Herman Park recently with the trees, and you've mentioned Poetrees, which I think is so brilliant. And that installation seemed like a wonderful thing. I guess it's past, yes. But you do have a very environmental conscious building of those collaborations. It appears to me. So you you tell me.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. So the Poetrees came out of a conversation with writers in the schools. Every year, the month of February is, April is National Poetry Month, the month of April. And so 3 years ago, they asked me to, they talked to me about maybe doing some kind of public installation that would celebrate art, but also celebrate poetry as well. So where people could, the trees were elaborately decorated or dressed up. I dressed them up with ribbon, and every year there was a theme. And then the ribbon basically was the whole trunk of the tree and then went out into the branches. But then around the tree were tags that people could write their own poetry or thoughts or sentiments. And within the, it was only up for a month, but within that month process, we had 2,000 to 5,000 people, you know, leaving their notes and sentiments. Mm-hmm. And
it's very nice.
It was really a beautiful way to engage the community about what was on their mind. Mm-hmm. And two couples ended up getting engaged under the trees in the process, which I thought was really awesome.
It is a romance. It's got a lot of romance.
Yeah, and it was at Eleanor Tinsley Park, which mm-hmm. was really awesome. And then my collaboration with Tammy Merrick with Art Unity, we've done two major projects, and they've both been funded by the Houston Arts Alliance because we applied for grants for both projects. And one was called Scape Senses, and it was in the historical near North Side, or in the North Side rather, which is east of the Heights and north of downtown. And what we created was a giant labyrinth, and we had the path of the labyrinth was these pipes that were created with the community that we had held workshops in my studio. Where people came in and painted PVC pipes mm-hmm. of certain sizes. And they could paint them, they could collage them, they could write on them. And we had over 2,000 pipes that basically created these grasses that were flowing out of the ground. And then when you got to the center, there was this giant basket that was 17 feet wide that was also woven by the community. We had Yes Prep students that are high school students mm-hmm. With the direction of Michael Healy, who's an instructor at Yes Prep, working with the students, and they painted on these recycled billboards, and those paintings then were cut into strips, and then we used that to weave the basket. So there was a sense of weaving coming together mm-hmm. of the community, both from the side of painting the pipes as well as creating the basket. And we were really lucky because previously Avenue CDC, which is a nonprofit organization in Houston that provides housing, let us use piece of land to create the sculpture, which is going to be their future home. They're starting construction on their new building, I think, next year. But so it was great because we had all different aspects of the community, including mm-hmm. Fresh Arts and Houston Arts Alliance and Avenue CDC, helping us, and even writers in the schools participated in that project. Mm-hmm. So it really is a great outreach. At the same time, you're providing an art for a neighborhood that mm-hmm. is underserved,
right.
And it gives them, you know, this warm, fuzzy
feeling. A pride in their neighborhood, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not to mention, well, it sounds like there's a lot of people involved in this. There's a lot of organization.
Yes.
And a lot of young people. So that's pretty awesome to make that impression and get them interested in the arts. And
it was a really a very fun project. And then, so that was 2 years ago. And then this year, earlier this year, we got another grant from the Houston Arts Alliance to create an installation-based work at Herman Park, and it was called Color Bursting Herman Park.
I got to go walk in that one. That was very nice. Yes,
it was a great way to really just bring color into the park, and so that was done in two phases. One phase was getting the community to come into my studio again with Tammy Merrick and Art Unity, and we basically had weaving art classes where people were weaving in fence material using ribbon and creating these vests. And then these vests were wrapped around trees throughout the park, in all different areas of the park. So as you were walking down the trails or, you know, driving down Main Street, you know, you could see these color bursts. And then the other part of the project was that Tammy and I hand-painted these skirts to dress up trees in one avenue of the park where these live oak trees you know, dominate. And that was beautiful too, because, you know, it gave a sense of spring is coming, and you know, the spring equinox was on its way. And it was, all of this was also in celebration of the kite festival that happens at Herman Park every year. And so it was great to be able to be a part of that. And there was also a dance component to this installation too, where Laura Yu, who's a choreographer, had dancers come in, and they were all wearing the skirts that we made specifically for the dancers that resembled what was on the trees.
Okay.
And they had this dance routine where they would walk through the park, and they would do this choreography and get the audience engaged and work with ribbon. So it tied all the different projects together. And then the fourth component was Texas Johnny Boy performed on the stage as
like
part
him.
Of you know, the whole wrapping up the celebration of the Kite Festival. So there was a lot of components that were happening, but it was a great project. It was a big project to undertake, but
yeah,
it was
sounds
very
like it.
Rewarding.
It's, I mean, and you're just talking like, oh, you know, I had 500 people and, you know, organized them, and yeah, it was no problem, and I procured all these materials, and yeah, we made them into art.
No, I didn't do all of
it
that.
It was all easy. It was nothing.
Believe me, you know.
No,
I couldn't have done it without Tammy.
And it's great that you were in Herman Park at this time. They've made all these wonderful improvements to Herman Park, and it's just made Houston more beautiful, and you did too. So, very nice. I'm sorry to keep referring to your website, but I'm telling everybody to go to your website because it's pretty awesome. And you mentioned dance. I'm not sure the collaboration you had with Dominic Walsh, what that was about. Performance. So, tell me about that.
So, this is going back probably about 6 years. 6 years ago, Dominic Walsh Dance Theater was a contemporary dance company in Houston. Dominic Walsh used to dance for the Houston Ballet and then started his own theater company, dance company based on, you know, ballet.
Right.
And so he had seen my artwork and contacted me and asked if I would like to create a set for a ballet that he was writing. And the clincher was that he was writing the ballet based on my artwork. Terminus, which was the name of the ballet, was created based on Edge of Awakening and my series Edge of Awakening. And then he basically created the ballet, and I did the set design for it and designed the costumes for the performances. That was really such an incredible experience.
Did your parents get to appreciate everything you've accomplished?
It's funny because at first my parents, every time I would ask, they would ask about how things were going. You know, they would try to encourage me, like, you know, why are you doing this art thing? Just, you know, get a job. When are you going to get a job? When are you going to get a job?
Oh my goodness!
I was like, this is my job, right? This is what I do. And so it wasn't until I actually started making, you know, a living at doing what I loved that they stopped asking when I was going to get a job, because they could clearly see that,
right?
You know, and were proud of the things that I was creating.
They remained in Italy.
Yes.
Yeah. And you would go back and forth to visit. Yeah.
Every year I would go back to visit them.
Yeah.
And spend usually 3 weeks with them.
You know, they just wanted you to be okay. That's all. But
yes,
it's really difficult to deal with that kind of pressure. I can understand.
Mm-hmm.
I have kids, and I'm just like, go do you. Go ahead.
Oh, that's great. We're lucky to have such a parent that lets them explore and lets them basically be who they are.
Well, yeah, that's the deal. Don't please me. That's always a recipe for disaster. Because I can't please myself, so I wouldn't want to put that on anyone else. But it's a difficult thing to be in, to be a parent, to be worried about your child making it and having everything they need. And I'm just glad you persevered and have just kept going. So, and you have not slowed down at all, because you have a lot of things going on still.
Yes.
We're talking about lots of past things, because I haven't monitored your website. Go to the website. But, you know, you've got so many nice things up there. So tell me about what's going on right now. I see you got something.
Yeah.
Nikolai's studio expands to the halls. All the veranda of the hall, all the halls are for Nikolai.
Wow. There's some partial truth to that. I'll agree.
That's okay, though. It's cool. I like to see things happening like that.
Yeah, it is cool. And I try to expand to the hall only when nobody else is.
Oh, no, I'm just joking. So, it's all good. Yeah.
Just so you know. But the current project that I'm working on is another Art Unity project, and we have a website for Art Unity, and it's artunity.com. They're community-driven but public art works, and so we're doing our first mural, and we applied for Houston Arts Alliance grant for this as well. And we got a mural commissioned by Kroger, and it's a permanent mural going inside a new store that they're building in Sugarland. And so the mural is 15 feet long by 5 feet tall, and it's created in panels in my studio, and we're using color blocking as part of the mural. And then the other part is that we took our own photography of the life of Sugarland, what it's like being in nature, and what it's like, the beauty of Sugarland, and then we turned those images into like a pop image and painted them on wood boards.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a sporadicness of these pop icons or pop images that are throughout the billboard, as well as these beautiful color blocking of various colorways in blues and greens and turquoise. And then on top of that, then we're adding these linear lines of all bright colors that kind of break up the patterns and let your eye kind of wander throughout the mural. So we're taking what would normally, the techniques that we would normally do in creating a painting, where we want our eye to be able to, you know, wander around and not just focus on one specific thing.
Sure.
But we're expanded it onto a mural, because we know that we're not muralists per se, but we wanted to create a 3D experience that was mural size, and that's what we've done, and we install it on the 5th of September.
Okay, that was my next question, because it did look like it was nearing completion, so you're ready to go.
We're almost ready to go. There's only a couple of extra details.
And repeat, it's going to be at a Kroger in Sugarland.
Yes, it's at a Kroger.
You know the address?
Sugarland.
Or which one?
Gosh.
No. Okay. That's, well, you can tell me later, and I'll put it in the show notes, and people can find it there. Because I know Sugarland, part of Houston, wants to be represented, so we'll get everybody to support that.
Awesome.
So,
and then the other thing I have going on, which doesn't happen until a couple of my calendars are already starting to get full for next year. Because I usually plan my shows out like 2 years ahead of time. So I will have a solo show at Gramian Fine Art and Rice Village in the spring of next year, 2019. Most likely it'll be April. I don't have the date set yet, but it'll be spring of next year. And then also what I'm very excited about is I'm working on a new project stated for February of 2019, while I'll be traveling to London.
I'm so sorry you have to go to London.
So one of the things that I'm going to backtrack a little bit, but one of the things I've always loved growing up is my mom's work. So she was a couture dress designer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would, you know, when she was sketching her dresses and things, I would sit next to her as a young boy and try to repeat what she was doing. So I've always had a love for fashion, and I've always put in the universe, okay, you know, one day I'm going to have a role in that as well. So I was contacted by Magpies and Peacocks, which is a nonprofit design house in Houston, and they're working with a designer. His name is Clarence Lee, and very, very talented dress designer, and he does couture. So he's asked me to paint on the material he's going to turn into the collection. And so the collection is going to be premiered in February during London Fashion Week.
Oh my goodness, that's so exciting.
Yeah, so I'm very, very excited about that.
Not only do you have to go to London, but you have to go during Fashion Week.
Yes, and I'll be there for the show.
I'm so sorry for you. You're going to just have to put on a happy face.
That's right. Super happy face, for sure.
Super happy face. Congratulations. Yeah. That sounds wonderful. Yeah, that sounds really exciting. I mean, it's I like design too, believe it or not. You're like, no, not her. I see her walking in the halls. No, I'm joking. But getting dressed is important, but it is a difficulty, you know? And I don't think people really look around their houses or wherever and understand just how much artists have influenced what they're doing, either dressing or their tea towels, whatever, everything, you know? So it's awesome. I think it sounds so cool. I would definitely jump on a project like that myself. That sounds good. Yeah,
it's very exciting. It's exciting that I'm working with a team again.
You must be a fabulous collaborator.
I guess I am. Yes.
I think you are. People are seeking you out, and you're working with a lot of groups, and it's very exciting. So it's good.
Thank you.
You've had installations at the Spring Street in the Tank, I guess, for the bees. Again, just another environmental driven project that looked really cool.
Are you always thinking
of the environment this way, or is it just happening that it's this way with you?
Typically I am very environmentally conscious, and like the pipes that we used for Scape Senses, all those were recycled. We went to the reuse warehouse to up recycled pipes, or they were donated by people in the community that had extra pipes in their garage from building something, or contractors. So there is this component of wanting to not buy new, and that's what also I love about this London Fashion Week, is that Magpies and Peacock, they concentrate on working sustainable. So all the dresses are basically using materials that were donated. So everything is upcycled.
Wow.
And so nothing is thrown away.
Wow.
Which is a great component. But the beehive thing was really interesting. It was a very, very micro space, and I created an installation called Colony Collapse. And it was to bring attention to the bee colonies across the world collapsing. And a lot of it is due to companies like Montalbano, who you know, have these chemicals out there that are, you know, pesticides that are basically killing our wildlife. And so there was a lot in it that had to do with, you know, what people can do, but to raise awareness. So to give you a visual of the installation, I used over 3,000 paper bags, lunch bags, that I put on, that I cut in different depths. And so I created this beehive inside a small room, and I filled from the floors, the walls, the ceilings, all with
this. It looked really cool.
It's pretty cool. You can see pictures on my website. And then there was, you know, lighting that made it look like, you know, this amber lighting that gave it a mood.
Activity in the hive.
Yeah, activity in the hive. And then there was this projection on one panel, on one wall, that had on the paper bags that had basically bees working. Mm-hmm. So as if, like, you know, they're busy and they're moving throughout the hive. And then there was a sound bite of this, you know, buzzing sound. So people entered Spring Street Studio, the first thing they heard is this buzzing, like, you know, bees. And so they found their way to the gallery space and then got to see the installation.
Very interactive and fun. Yeah.
Yes.
I'd like to know how your brain works. I really would. That's some good ideas you came up with.
I have no idea.
It's cool. It's just, that's why people are looking for you, seeking you out and wanting to collaborate with you. Cause,
yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. I enjoy it. I like the collaboration, and I just love the creative process. You know, that's what it's all about.
The Magpies and Peacocks group, that is a non-profit, and is upcycling mostly. Is there anything that people can do to contribute to their goals, or is it something?
You can go to their website, which is Magpies and Peacocks, and just Google it, and it'll bring it right up.
Okay.
Houston, Texas, and they are a nonprofit, so they do need funding for, you know, projects, and they work with designers all over Houston, from jewelry to metalsmithing to glass to fashion, obviously. And they really give a lot of opportunities to the younger generation that are, you know, interested in finding ways to create a career, and they give them that opportunity.
Cool.
Through mentoring, as well as working with designers that are already out there. And, because their warehouse is basically open to anyone that wants to go in and see.
Okay. So we've mentioned that you're here in Winter Street Studios within the Sawyer Yards. We have events here all the time, and every second Saturday the studios are open 12 to 5. I don't know if you participate with open studios, or people can call you for appointments, or do you do that kind of thing? You sound too busy, but...
Yeah, you know, my studio is such a working studio that it's always a mess.
Yeah.
So to open it up, I make an effort twice a year during the biannuals.
Sure.
So I am open during the biannuals or by appointment. So anyone can call me and do a studio visit at any time. I'll have to excuse myself as far as a mess.
Yeah.
But it's a good way to see the work or what I'm working on. And they can also go to Remy on & Company, Fine Art, to look at my work at any time as far as paintings. They have, you know, ample inventory of works there as well.
They're on Sunset and
Sunset
Morningside
and Calvin.
Or Calvin. Okay. Very beautiful gallery, very prestigious. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So people can see your work there and come for our biennial this year.
And then my website is NicolaParente.com, NicolaParente.com.
Okay. I tell you, you should definitely go there because it's very informative and extensive. I enjoyed perusing everything this morning. Very cool. And I just want to thank you so much for coming. It's been great.
Thank you. I love being here.
So I want to really thank you for coming today. It's been great. I really appreciate your time. I know you're super busy. And if there's anything else you want anyone to know about what you got going on.
Well, I just wanted to kind of touch base a little bit more about Art Unity. So Art Unity is a collaborative organization that Tammy and I had started, And what we do is, for every project that we get, we try to bring in another artist or another or other organizations or people from the community that will help us, you know, achieve what we want as far as outreach.
Okay.
And so the Kroger mural that we're working on is a collaboration between Tammy Merrick, Tracy Myers, myself, and a master carpenter who goes by Mr. Bob.
Okay. Okay. He was instrumental because you've got all those awesome textures and different levels in that mural. So that's pretty cool.
Yes, he was very instrumental in the building.
Yeah, good job.
Yes.
So do you want, if there are people that do need partners, it's something that you're willing to talk to people about? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, well, typically
mean?
What happens is that Tammy and I will chase a project. We'll go after a grant for a specific project. We'll come up with a concept and what we would like to do. And then we kind of put our feelers out as far as who could be a good collaborator with us in that specific project. And that would fill a need. People can sign up to be a volunteer with Art Unity at any time and just go to our website and they can send us a message saying they want to volunteer, and that way next time we have a project that's community driven, you know, they can volunteer.
Yes, and some of these installations are quite large and bulky and not just put it in your purse and run. You have to have a lot of people to help you. So
yes,
it's
a
good
way.
It takes a village.
Yes.
So it's a good way for people to get involved, though, that don't think they're artistic or they don't, you know, I can't draw a stick, you know, whatever. It doesn't take any of that. You can volunteer and be part of the art community for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, Nicola, I appreciate you coming. I thank you so much for your time. It's been great.
Thank you so much. I loved being here.
Good. In the cabana. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Loved it.
All right. Rhonda's Lounge. That's what it is. All right. Take care.
Rhonda.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much, Nicola, for coming on the show. I appreciate it so much. Please check out the website, nicolaiparente.com. It's really informative. All on the show notes, artistofhouston.com. You can get all that information, including where to find his collaborations currently with Miss Tracy Myers and Robert Alexander Gary Newen for their mural that's been installed out in Sugarland recently, part of the Art Unity collaboration that he mentioned on the podcast. You can find all the links on the show notes, including information about London Fashion Week of February 2019, which will be here before you know it. We in Houston will be so happy for February, but in London, it's Fashion Week. And Nicola is a collaborator with designers Clarence Lee and Jerry Moore of Magpies and Peacocks. And you can find information about them on the show notes too, magpiespeacocks.org. And remember, every second Saturday, I am open in my studio and look forward to seeing you there. Take care.